Discover Milan, Italy with WSJ Magazine and Indigare. Join WSJ Magazine editors for behind-the-scenes access in Milan as you meet the city's most influential tastemakers, dine at top restaurants, visit the private villas of Lake Como, and much more. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at indigare.com/WSJ Magazine or call 646-780-8383.
With your money briefing, I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Credit card companies are turning to artificial intelligence to weed out the bad guys trying to fraudulently apply for loans. We'll have details and explain how it would affect your application for a loan in a moment. First, these money and market stories you should know. A study by the online mortgage marketplace LendingTree indicates the state that someone lives in is a significant factor in the mortgage consumers wind up with, and it comes down to local competition and business costs. Currently, the national average for a 30-year fixed-rate loan is 4.84%, but California has the lowest average mortgage rates in the nation at 4.74%. The next best performers rate-wise include New Jersey, Washington State, and Massachusetts. New York ranks worst on the list, where rates average 4.96%, and the Empire State is followed at the bottom of the list by Iowa, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. And check out the Wall Street Journal's tax calculator just in time for the new tax law to affect your tax return. Type in data like marital status, income, deductions, and medical expenses, and the calculator will tell you how much your tax liability has changed compared to the previous tax code. It'll also tell you how much your taxes are likely to change when the tax code expires in 2027. Check it out on WSJ.com.
Join the Wall Street Journal and National Geographic on one of five unique land expeditions to Israel and Palestine, Colombia, South Korea, China, or South Africa. Along the way, you'll enjoy exclusive access to pioneering journalists, scientists, and business leaders in each country and gain profound perspectives on the past, present, and future of our world. Book this once-in-a-lifetime trip at natgeoexpeditions.com/WSJ or call 888-205-5621.
Artificial intelligence technology is coming to the loan business. The people behind Discover Credit Cards will be using the new source of data to improve its personal loan business, and Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis is on the line with us with some details. So, Anna Maria, do you think this might improve the odds for consumers trying to get a loan?
What this will do is improve the odds for some people and lessen the odds for others. Discover is going to be looking at hundreds of new data characteristics about people. And it's going to be doing that to primarily identify loan applicants who present risk and essentially would increase the company's chances of people not paying back the loans that they could be given. The strategy could also help some people who would not qualify for the loans with the original data that the company was using to get approved for them. But ultimately, the main goal here for Discover is to identify people who pose a risk of not paying back a loan, either because they really can't afford it or because they're fraudsters, and to catch that before giving them the loan.
Yeah, it's interesting. You write in your story that they're hoping that this AI technology could weed out people putting in fraudulent information or false identity and really connecting those dots and taking them out of the running.
If the loan applicant writes the full legal name of their employer on their loan application, a name that, let's say, ends in Inc. or LLC or Co., whatever it might be, that would be a red flag for Discover, because it could suggest that the loan applicant is not truly employed by that company, but rather just maybe doing a copy and paste job as they're filling in a loan application with someone else's identity. Because when you think about it, like, a lot of this is behavioral. If you're filling out a loan application and you're asked for your employer, you are probably going to use the everyday name that your employer goes by and is known. You're not going, the chances of you putting in the full legal name aren't so high.
Another example, I see what you're saying.
What they're going to be doing here is like to spot signs of fraud. If the loan applicant calls Discover customer service and is getting the application started, and Discover sees that they are calling from an internet-based phone service, so not a landline, not a cell phone, something along the lines of Skype or other types of services that are internet-based, that's also going to raise some red flags, because finding those people, tracing those people back to a phone number when they're calling from an internet-based phone service is a lot harder than a landline or a cell phone.
So the good old-fashioned landline actually could live to see another day here.
That's interesting that you say that, because that's true. I mean, not to get into the phone sector, but who would have thought that there'd be a benefit from landlines in the year 2019, as many people are really not just cutting that cord and living with their cell phones. But yeah, here, if you're calling from a landline or a cell phone, that could actually help you from an applicant standpoint, because it will give Discover more confidence that you are who you say you are, that they can trace you back to actually your own individual identity.
You also mentioned in your story that loan applicants with higher incomes than others might be seen as more risky. The conventional wisdom would be that if you have a higher income, you might have a better chance of paying the loan back. So why is that?
It's primarily because six-figure incomes, while they do sound, as you said, as very financially stable, are not representative of the majority of U.S. population. Meaning that the low six-figure incomes or higher are significantly higher income than the median U.S. household income. So apparently, when applicants put in what appears to be a relatively high income, at least compared to most of the U.S. population, that sends up red flags. And it's, well, is this loan applicant really making this level of money that they claim to be making? Or are they just putting in a high figure so that we can think of them as, oh, they must be a great credit risk because look at how much money they make. Of course, they'll be able to pay back this loan. So a lot of this stuff comes down to a behavioral analysis. And that's what is really different here. I mean, for decades, large lenders the size of Discover and most U.S. banks, they primarily relied on credit reports and credit scores to determine whether to approve people for loans. Now, these companies are still using all that data, but increasingly, a number of large lenders are moving towards using so-called alternative data, data that can give you more insights into the likelihood that somebody is going to repay the loan that they're applying for.
So from a business standpoint, Discover is best known for its credit card business, and personal loans, as you mentioned in your story, are among the worst performing of its credit offerings. So they're really hoping the AI data can help them pare back losses that they're suffering and improve that part of the business.
This effort is primarily a way for Discover to root out risk, to find applicants who maybe it would approve with the underwriting standards it has had all along, and to use this extra data that would help it determine, well, wait a minute, somebody who looks pretty creditworthy, actually, when we look at this additional data, there's some red flags here. Maybe we shouldn't approve them. And really the problems that Discover is dealing with in the personal loan world are pretty emblematic of what's going on in the personal loan industry. This is a booming market. Outstanding balances industry-wide are at record levels. In recent years, there have been a number of banks that have jumped into the space to compete against fintechs that have been in the personal loan market starting shortly after the last financial downturn. And so there's a whole bunch of competition for borrowers and to keep originating loan volume. And what's happening, quite frankly, is that a lot of fraudsters are getting in the mix here in terms of people who are applying for loans with made up fake identities. This is something that Discover's CEO spoke with me about as I was working on this article, that one of the things that they're trying to get a handle on is these so-called synthetic or made-up identities. So that's where things like putting in a full legal name of a company could raise a red flag, because like, well, wait a minute, would a real person actually do that? So personal loan losses at Discover and industry-wide have been on the rise. And as you said, Discover's personal loan losses are the worst loan performer at the company, period. They're performing worse than credit cards, worse than private student loans that Discover offers. And just to give you an idea of what that means, loan losses in Discover's personal loans in the fourth quarter of 2018 rose by more than 80 basis points. That's a lot on a year-over-year basis. So clearly what's happening here is the company's trying to take additional steps to get that under control, and it remains to be seen how helpful the strategy will be.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Anna Maria Andriotis on the line with us. Anna Maria, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for the Wall Street Journal.